Blog Talk Radio.
Revolution is the solution. If you work in corporate America, be a revolutionary. If you work in government, be a revolutionary. Gather material, gather information, learn everything you can. If you got a high level of security clearance, you can go in doors that other Negroes can't go in. You go in and see whatever you can see. And then bring it back to your black community so that we can be all that we can really be. Be a revolutionary in whatever you do. This chapter should grow overnight. Every one of you that is not a member should join today. What else do you have to do? You say, well, I'm too old. You're not too old. We need you.
That's right.
We need your wisdom.
That's
we
right.
need your maturity.
That's
you say, I'm too young. We need you. We need your fire. We need your spirit. We need your zeal. You say, well, I'm middle-aged. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I say, you're just right.
That's right.
For what needs to be done at this time, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calls the time and what must be done.
Yeah.
The time and what must be done. I want to cover the 10-point program and platform and cover a few things with you. Why is the new Black Panther Party talking about God? Some of the original Panthers angry with us because we talk about God. They say ain't no religion in the Black Panther Party. That ain't, you ain't supposed to have no religion. You're a fool.
Right.
We don't want to do nothing where God is not at the center. You will never build a mass movement among black people if you leave God out of your movement.
Right.
It's silly. That's why all kind of lumping activity can crop up. That's why we end up with tons of drugs on top of our heads. Brought in by COINTELPRO, J. Edgar Hoover. That's what I said, J. Edgar Hoover.
J.
Edgar Hoover and the modern day Hoovers.
And we welcome you to another edition of the Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. The show is sponsored by New Black Liberation Militia and NBLM. You can catch us every Thursday here at 6 p.m. here on blogtalkradio.com. You can also catch us on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/NBLM. I'm your host, Brother Anthony, and want to thank you for joining us again today. You can reach us if you want to call in and speak with us. Feel free. The number to reach us is 516-453-9457. We'll open the phone lines in just a few, but wanted to talk about a couple things. First of all, the shooting this past weekend in Jacksonville. For those of you who may not have heard about it, there was a Madden football convention taking place in Jacksonville, Florida this past weekend. And I guess one of the participants got pissed off that he got beat. White participant got pissed off that he got beat by a black man, and of course then came back and started shooting up the place. Four people were killed. I believe four people were killed and about a couple dozen or so were injured along the way. And it's interesting. I was listening to Jason Black, also known as the Black Authority, on YouTube, and he made some salient points, and I think that it needs to be talked about in the sense of a lot of these video games, these video organizations, they're like the last bastion of white supremacy for a lot of folks because, you know, as is with so many of these folks, they have to have their hand in on so many things because it's just their whole, you know, just, you know, crush, kill, destroy, conquer, and all that. And the thing is, to me, this is just the manifestation of even more of that. where you had someone who, in their own private little world, felt threatened because a black man actually beat him at something that he thought that he was, in a sense, the king of. And the crazy thing is, it speaks to where we are in this country right now, where you have folks that are threatened by anything, people, just our presence alone, people feel threatened by just our existence. And this to me was just a manifestation of that. It speaks to where we're at in this society, where people feel like they have to basically just kill anything and everyone that stands in their way. And, you know, we as black folks have had to deal with this for years. We're still dealing with it, even more so. I talk constantly about how, sadly, we are still fighting the same fight that our ancestors are doing. And it's even more so now because literally anything and everything we do, people feel threatened by. Going to Starbucks, going to a swimming pool, having our children out trying to make, a couple of bucks. You heard about the incident where a white woman called the cops on a kid mowing the lawn. We saw the woman, I guess it was in California, trying to send a little black girl to jail because she didn't have a permit for selling water. It's the fact that we are at that stage right now, the fact that people will feel so emboldened to come after us the way they do and the way they have. Again, it speaks to the insidious evil that's out here now, because when these white folks make a point to call the police on us, whether we be black men or black women, they, in a sense, are taking a coward's way out because they want to perpetrate the violence, but they figure if they call the police, that will satisfy them. That will get their, that will manifest their own hatred, and they'll justify it. And even now, you will still have folks that will try to justify it. And you always hear that thing, well, if they had just complied, they wouldn't have had to deal with it. But you're just living your life. Why, there's complying, and then there's living, just trying to just live. Most of these folks that were involved in these incidents, they weren't perpetrating violence. They weren't perpetrating anything. They were just living their lives. But in this era of where you're considered guilty until you're considered guiltier, this is the kind of attitude that we get here. And this is why, we have to be vigilant. We have to, defend ourselves. But it's funny, when we talk about defending ourselves, all of a sudden people get upset and think that we're just going to start randomly shooting. It doesn't happen that way. It's never happened that way. Historically, we have always been the victims of a lot of this senseless violence. And a lot of it is because, we're not prepared, because all we're trying to do is live. Now, again, you don't want to live your life in fear. You don't want to keep looking over your shoulder constantly. But you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of the evil that's out here. There are people out here that are literally and figuratively want to and are trying to kill us. And their attitude is spurred on by several factors, by politicians, by some of the talk show hosts that literally spew out that sort of venom, TV and everything else. It's interesting. Years ago, when things like this happened, you would always say, they were spurred on by the violence that they saw on TV or the violence that they saw in video games. My thinking is, if a video game is spurring you on to kill somebody, you're a weak-minded person in the first place. You were going to go out and try to kill somebody no matter what. To me, it's too easy of an out for someone to say, well, it was a video game that pushed him over. Well, it was the fact that he was bullied when he was a kid or something. There will always be excuses for these white supremacist cowards that go on these shooting sprees. Always. There will always be that sort of excuse. And it just becomes tiresome because, let's face it, if this had been a black person doing this, we would have heard about everything that this man or woman had done all of their lives. They would have talked about their families. They would have talked about their relatives. They would have gone after them in the hardest way, literally and figuratively, in all the reports that you see during the day and even leading up to it. You had folks that were literally going to make excuses for the violence. And to me, that's worse than the actual crime. When you literally and figuratively try to justify the violence, it speaks to ignorance, and it just speaks to a kind of evil that's out here now that has just made it almost impossible to live in this society. It's a very, very, very scary existence. But in that, we still have to protect our own. We have to protect our families. We have to protect our communities. We have to protect our neighborhoods. It's all about being able to protect ourselves because, again, you know, if you know your history, when you saw what happened with Tulsa years ago, when you saw what happened to the MOVE folks in Philadelphia, when you see how the waters of Flint have been poisoned, when you see how the Ninth Ward was literally and figuratively taken out by Katrina. Yes, the hurricane did a lot of damage, but there was a lot of subsequent damage, and even while the hurricane went on, that led to many deaths. People are still trying to, you know, come back from this. I say all of this, and I know, you know, you may think I'm just going all over the place, but to me, it's very important for us as black folks to be vigilant. We need to look out for, we need to look out for each other. We need to protect each other because the one thing that we've always had over the years, whether it was slavery or Reconstruction or the turn of the century, we've always had each other. The one thing that we've always been able to fall back on, they've never been able to take away, is the black family. Now, through social economics or what have you, they will try to eliminate the black man in the family. But even with that being said, you know, in most black communities, it is still the traditional family. And that's the one thing that we need. That's the one thing that we've always had. And it's needed even more now because of the vitriol and the way that they're coming after us as a people. And I say all that to not to be paranoid. Again, I think a lot of people, when they hear this kind of talk, they think he's just being paranoid or he's just fanning the flames. But let's face it, we've seen way too many unarmed black men and black women get killed. And I know there'll be people say, well, what about what's going on in Chicago or what's going on in some of these in some of these ghettos? I don't think that it's a thing where they're just killing each other. I think that it's a systematic thing where this country is slowly but surely becoming a police state. And I think they use these areas to, in a sense, try to isolate or decrease the population, especially in the black areas. And again, it's really nothing new. It's been going on for years, but now they've seemed to have ratcheted it up a little bit more over the past few years. When the FBI came out with their BIE report just about a year or so ago. It basically let you know what they thought about us. To me, this was COINTELPRO 2.0 all over again. And that's the sad part about it. And again, I don't say this to be paranoid. I don't say this to, you know, cast gloom and doom, but we have to be aware. We have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware of the people who are trying to come after us as a whole. And again, it really doesn't matter age-wise. If you know, when you're going after a collective, you don't really sit around and, in a sense, pick and choose. You just, you know, if someone black, they're gonna go after it. And unfortunately, that has become basically the new sport in this country now. And it's very troubling because, you know, and again, I'm trying not to repeat myself, but the fact that we are still fighting the same fight that our ancestors and their ancestors fought in 2018 is very troubling. And I know a lot of people will say a lot of it has to do with the fact of Trump being in office, but let's be honest, folks, that attitude has been there even before President Obama, even before President Trump. It's just now, it just seems as though because of social media, because of mainstream media, we're a lot more aware of it now. Again, this is the Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. If you have a question, you have a comment, feel free to give us a buzz at 516-453-9457. Take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I went to St. Louis, Missouri the other day. They had Black Panthers from all over the country. No one knew about it at all. They had machine guns, recoilless rifles, grease guns, Lugas, 25 of them, all armed. And the chief of police met me at the airport when I arrived, and they were there, right there at the steps. He said, "You were violating the law." "Yeah, we're violating the law." He said, "We're tired of our white and black leaders, Jackie and Martin and Bobby, being killed. We're going to protect this man while he's here." And they didn't arrest one of them. Because they said, if you arrest one, then someone's going to die, because we are ready to kill. Black power means black dignity. Just as surely as you are proud to be white, we're proud to be black. Black is beautiful, baby. It's pretty. I always say to my brothers, I say, "Baby, don't worry about the white chicks. We got everything from chalk to charcoal in our own race. You know, see? Black is beautiful. Black is beautiful. Black power means dignity. Means we're going to walk side by side with you or through you. We're going to be with dignity and integrity. We don't want any more than you have, and we're not going to accept any less than you have. That's black power."
Of course, those are the words of the great Adam Clayton Powell Jr. And, you know, nothing's really changed in that same vein over the years. You know, we're still proud people. We're still people who have our own dignity, have our own class, but we're becoming more targets now, and to me, again, it speaks to this society that we have now that frowns upon any sort of black excellence. It's very, very troubling. I know myself. I'm always trying to be aware of my surroundings. And it's tough. You know, you watch the news all the time and they play up a lot of the violence. You know, what's funny to me is that when you have a story like that happened in Jacksonville or the Orlando shootings or any of these shootings, the mainstream media always comes off as, you know, it's a tragedy or what have you. But trust and believe, folks, they love this stuff. They literally and figuratively, they eat this stuff up because it's ratings for them. You know, it's that whole, it's a phrase I know many folks have heard of before, if it bleeds, it leads. And these shootings, whether they go back to Columbine or here in Connecticut with the Sandy Hook shootings or what have you, it's a moneymaker. As sad and as gruesome as it sounds, but it is. It always has been. And even more so now, because we're violent. We've always been a violent society, and even more so now. It was violence that led to Indians being massacred. You know, Malcolm said it best years ago, that whenever there's a revolution, there's bloodshed. Whenever there's an undertaking or overtaking of a land or of a people, bloodshed is always involved, and that's really what's going on right now. It's a slow revolution because people feel threatened by just our existence, and we have to be vigilant of the fact. I'm not saying you just go out and just start shooting people randomly, but we have to protect ourselves. What bothers me is that when we talk about protecting ourselves, people kind of take that as, oh, we're just going to go out and start shooting randomly. But where in history have you seen that? Whenever there has been random and reckless violence, it's always been of white folks, not of black folks. You never hear stories of black folks going out and massacring folks. If it was probably something that was perpetrated by white folks, with white folks basically trying to defend themselves. But again, it depends on who's writing the story and who's telling the story. We always talk about how, hey, we have to tell our own stories. That's one of the reasons why it's important to have shows like this, so we can give our point of view and not have our enemies give their view, their version of our point of view. It's important that way. Well, I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Black Power Truth Hour. We'll be back again next Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Brother Anthony, and enjoy your evening.
Brother, you will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.